We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Carol Daniel, KMOX News Time 309.
You totally got me with the Sterling K. Brown news because I had not heard that as of this afternoon.
Yeah, and tweeted it maybe noonish.
Well, I follow Mr. Brown.
I do, too.
But I did not see that. But that's great news.
Isn't that great news for him?
And he has just blown up, hasn't he?
It is remarkable. And I had a chance to interview him on the phone. He was in New York, and I was here at my house in O'Fallon. And if you can tell a personality from someone just talking to them on the phone, and there were many mishaps in my attempt to do that interview over the phone. The call dropped like three times.
Oh, no.
Yes. And he could not have been more gracious, because at that point, after it drops the first time, you know,
okay. How much time do I have here?
Enough with you Bush League people, right? But he was so, so kind and so gracious. And from everything you hear, he and Tom Ackerman know each other well. That is the person he really is.
Well, you know, I spoke with him a few weeks ago. I saw him at the Critics' Choice Awards, and we talked a little bit about this very thing. And he could not have been more appreciative and humble. I mean, I think he's very appreciative. He knows he's on this amazing ride right now. I mean, the timing of it was perfect for him because, of course, he was in The People versus O.J. Simpson
right.
and completely nailed that role as Chris Darden. And he's been acting. You know, some of these guys have been really working hard, and it looks like someone's an overnight success. I don't know if he's the best example of that, but you know what I mean? People will say, hey, all of a sudden this guy is huge. He's in This Is Us. It's one of the biggest shows on television. Now he's hosting Saturday Night Live. But he's worked his butt off to get to this point, and he's finally clicking at the right time.
How old is he? Is he 40? I have no idea.
How old is Ackerman?
Are in there eating. They're in there eating. Oh, Dave Klein is looking. I bet if Google tells me before you, Dave, how old is Sterling K. Brown?
You can probably find it here. 41 years. Good job, by the way.
Brown is 41 years old.
There you go.
He's about to have a birthday, April 5th. So 41, and to have this kind of success, but he has been acting. I mean, he went to college. He got that. That is his degree.
He went to Stanford too, isn't he? Like,
I believe
smart
so.
Guy?
I believe so.
He went to MICDS here. And then to Stanford, and I don't know much about the acting career before that, but he, you know, if you go to IMDb, there's a bunch
absolutely.
Of roles.
Absolutely. So our point is that he is not an overnight success. He trained
oh, right.
for this moment, and he was, I think he was interested in something else when he first began college, but then got the acting bug there, and that changed everything for him. But he's 41 now and seen this kind of success. And his role in Black Panther, by the way, it is crucial to the plot.
Yes, it is.
It is crucial to the plot.
You know, it's funny, by the way, when I saw what happened in Black Panther, we were
right.
both at the screening last
yeah.
week. I'm like, that looks like Sterling K. Brown, but I wasn't convinced that
right.
it was. Because I didn't know he was in the movie, first of all.
I didn't either.
But you're right. It's underpublicized because, well, we just
Well, there
are
bigger
that.
Names.
Well, no, because I think it is a pivotal. It's a little pivotal just
it, yeah, he's
happens.
Not in it throughout.
Right.
But the role is
yes.
actually, it's pivotal, crucial, integral.
Yes.
To,
no spoilers. #no spoilers.
#no spoilers. So at any rate, but I was... happy to see that because people play and his role in This Is Us is...
Now, I don't watch that show. Everybody tells me it's a
okay,
good show.
Okay, our relationship is over.
Well,
I'm turning my back on you.
You know why I don't watch it? Because it's a network drama, and network dramas are typically terrible. But I have heard from people you've told me, other people
Dave
told me
Klein?
That this Dave Klein watches it, right?
Who watches it for Mandy Moore?
Well, I like Mandy
I
Moore.
I asked him why he watches it. I thought you watched it because your wife watches it.
It was because
he said,
of Mandy
no,
Moore.
Because of Mandy Moore.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like her. She's
I'm
good.
Highbrow.
But
I watch it for the dialogue and the incredible acting.
Not that I don't respect your opinion on entertainment, but mm-hmm. there have been several people who I've talked to about that show that have said, yeah, you'd be for a network drama, it's
you'd
really
be surprised.
Good.
I mean, it is movie worthy. It is moving. And you know that I like to cry.
As do I, Carol. And there's nothing, you know, if I go a day and I don't have a good cry in.
I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you what I'll tell Patrick Daniel. You will live longer if you get in touch with that side of your emotions. If you cry a little more, you'll live longer.
Really?
The release.
Is that proven or is that just
no,
a gut feel?
All. Okay. Not at all. It's what I say, though, and Patrick.
Like, do you have to just go into full-on ugly face cry and ball, or just you get a little weepy?
No, little just weepiness even helps.
I do get, I get affected that way. Yeah, I've told you this before.
Like, I'll
be watching something.
I've seen you get a little. Haven't you and maybe. I had a conversation or two that you got
I'm sure. I'm sure that I have. But I'm talking like with entertainment, and if something moves me, and I'm kind of a sucker for that. You know, when my wife and I, have you seen Coco, the Disney movie?
Which
just, I think, came out this
week. It's on DVD.
Fantastic movie, right? And I was a little late to the game on that. I missed the screening when it was in the theater, so you know they sent me a screener for
it's
our
emotional?
Awards. Absolutely.
Wow.
It is, by the way, I think it's one of the best Pixar movies in years, but it really gets you in the end because it has something that happens that you
hashtag
don't see coming.
No spoilers.
Or I didn't see it coming.
Okay.
And I will tell you this, though, candidly, and I think this is the way people relate to emotions overall.
Yes.
If you, I have a daughter, as you know, and, mm-hmm. and the storyline in Coco plays into that father-daughter relationship in a way
mm-hmm.
that really
mm-hmm.
grabbed me and made me weepy at the end.
Were you surprised at your own weepiness?
Absolutely, because
I didn't
know where the story was going. My wife and I were watching that in my basement when we watched the, you know, this is around Christmas time, and I think we were both doing the same thing. We're trying not to show each other that we're being affected by this, but yeah, it was sad. Sad in a happy way, though, kind of. Anyway, but I can
do that. See that
I can get in touch with my
yeah, but not enough. You have, you're
side.
Great. You are more in touch with your annoyed side than your weepy side.
Well, I'm much better at that side.
You're just more, you're, that's...
You don't want to be, you got. If you're a manly man, you can't cry.
You spend most of your time on that street.
I don't think that's fair. I think that's fake news. I don't think.
You are fake news.
All right. On that note.
Anyway.
I'm always dragging myself in these conversations to
You asked me to stay. I have work I could
well,
be
no,
doing.
Well, no, I know, but I always have myself exposed by you in the end.
You
like,
love
I'm
it.
Not. All right.
Hi,
that,
Mark.
Is that all we got? We'll talk to you at 4.
You're going
to
live longer.
4 o'clock. Hey, can I ask a question? I'm not asking this to catch you off guard.
I was almost free.
One question here on the Joe Reagan story.
Yes.
Where does the money for that organization come from?
Membership.
Okay.
Companies pay.
Aha. So it's not tax dollars?
Not that I'm aware of, no. They may receive grants to carry out certain initiatives, but and they have a very healthy... This is in effect a chamber. It is called Regional Chamber,
mm-hmm.
and it is a chamber of commerce. And so you have a lot of companies that are members. So that's where the general monies come from.
There we go.
Okay.
I'm going to make a point on that here.
All right.
I just
don't set me up at all.
No. It's not.
It's just information.
Just information.
I'm
that's
giving all. Information.
Because my comment would be different if it was taxpayer
dollars.
Money. Right.
Yeah. I get you.
That's all. Thank you very
mm-hmm.
much. And the reason I bring it up is Carol will be back here for Total Information PM at 4 o'clock. And I like Joe, and you know, we've had him on the show, and I'm going to say what I'm going to say without knowing all the particulars of everything that he's achieved. I'm going to, in good faith, have confidence that there's been a lot of things that the Regional Chamber of Commerce has done here in St. Louis, despite the fact that we've had our challenges. Now, there was this story, and I looked this up this morning. There was a story that was in our local paper last June about allegations that Joe Reagan created a hostile work environment. Now, that came out last year, and there were anonymous letters that were sent to the board that called for his ouster. There was an inquiry into the matter, and the former chamber CEO, Beverly Estes, called it a hostile work environment under Reagan. I don't know the facts of that. You know, people don't like each other. Sometimes these things get exaggerated. Who knows what the truth is? Maybe we'll find it out. Maybe we won't find it out. But the thing that struck me when I was looking at this story earlier is the chamber has a $636,000 deficit. That was 2015. That's the most recent tax filing that's available. It spent $1 million more than it took in the prior year. The letter that was anonymous said that the chamber was on track to post another $827,000 deficit in 2017. But that has not been confirmed. In 2015, Joe Reagan's total compensation was $771,000. Now, I don't know, they don't break it down here, salary, bonus, car allowance, I'm not exactly sure. But 771 $100,000 that's a pretty good salary. Now, I think I saw something here. Really good. I think I saw that the following year, that's not in this story. I think he took a bit of a pay cut the following year. And when I say a bit of a pay cut, he was making like $650 compared to $771 or whatever it was. But that, you know, what my question on all this would be, where's the bang for your buck on the Regional Chamber of Commerce here in St. Louis? Maybe there is. Maybe there's not.
Lewis's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1120 KMOX and KMOX.com.
So we have some movement on the gun issue from the administration this afternoon. I want to update you on that first and then take some phone calls. Hugh Hewitt wrote a really good piece for the Washington Post, which had the headline, "A Not-So-Radical First Step for Stopping School Shootings." I'm a fan of Hugh's and have been for a long time. We tried to get him on the show today, and he couldn't make it work. But I would like to talk to him about this. And I'll get to that in just a second, because bump stocks are back in the news. I think everybody asked themselves, remember after the Las Vegas massacre, everyone seemed to be in agreement on bump stocks, but nothing has happened. So here's the president today on that issue.
After the deadly shooting in Las Vegas, I directed Attorney General to clarify whether certain bump stock devices, like the one used in Las Vegas, are illegal under current law. That process began in December, and just a few moments ago, I signed a memorandum directing the Attorney General to propose regulations to ban all devices that turn legal weapons into machine guns. I expect that these critical regulations will be finalized, Jeff, very soon.
All right, so that should have been done months ago, right? It's weird with Trump, too, when he's off the teleprompter. He always sounds like he's had a couple of shots or something like that. I'm not sure what's going on. So that's the latest from the administration. But let me get to this column, and I want to take calls and get your reaction here. And Hewitt says, and this is updated just a little bit, but you'll get where I'm going with this. He says, after Las Vegas, I thought wrongly it would be a matter of weeks before bump stocks would be outlawed. The ritual condemnations of the defenders of Second Amendment rights destroyed that moment of opportunity for thoughtful legislation, though just as the torrent of abuse now underway will likely destroy this opportunity. You know, and that's what happens in these particular situations. Everyone gets passionate, emotional, stupid, making comments that don't make sense on both sides. So here's what he wrote. And I want to get your response to this. He goes, my NBC colleague Chuck Todd, he was on Meet the Press every once in a while, suggested on my radio show that congressional hearings on school shootings would be a good idea. I agree, Hewitt says. Hearings could focus the country on the extent and the origins of the sporadic outbreak of mass shootings, could distinguish between those born of ideology, mental instability, or other sources, and comprehensively collect and assess proposals to address the awful eruptions, including whether the most effective ones should be passed at the state or the federal level. Witnesses could also outline what the Second Amendment explained by the Supreme Court in recent cases means for legislative proposals. Hearings could focus, for example, on whether school principals or district superintendents ought to be able to designate troubled students as candidates for a, quote, no-buy list, a rebuttal presumption, of course, but perhaps a predicate for finding probable cause to deny and perhaps remove weapons from the homes of disturbed young adults. National Review's David French has written previously, he's, of course, been on the show many times, it's GVROs, Gun Violence Restraining Orders. And Hewitt says hearings could allow the public and perhaps state legislatures to become informed about these. The hearings could examine the toxins flowing into youth culture that are providing the background from which these monsters emerge. I've had several emails in the past few days about video games and violent movies and all these things. And I think some of that does play into it, but I made this comment last week. It's always a little uncomfortable for me to immediately go to the issue of video games and violence in the media, because we've had that for a long time. We've also had situations where people have blamed satanic music and heavy metal and all these things on the behavior of kids. And some of us are able to separate those two things. You know, I'd like to think that my kids can play the violent video games, which, of course, as a bad parent, I've allowed over the years, and not shoot up a school and distinguish between reality and fantasy. I think there are certain people that can't do that. And this kid was unhinged for a variety of reasons, and he was very disturbed. Just look at the picture of him in court from yesterday. He's just a freak show that exploded. So Hewitt wrote, the case for hearings is so obvious, in fact, that an hour after Todd suggested it to me, I proposed the idea to Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. She agreed they should occur. The next day, I asked Attorney General Jeff Sessions the same question in the context of wider-ranging discussions of the all the fentanyl rivers flowing into the country and killing hundreds of young Americans every month as poison or a poison as lethal as guns. By the way, he's right about that. I mean, if you're going to have hearings, you might as well talk about things that are killing kids in even greater numbers than mass shootings. Hewitt said hearings don't excite the advocates of prepackaged answers, those who have an almost automatic algorithm-driven call and response to every massacre. And by the way, I think he's talking about both sides here. I know he is. Every time the long and necessarily persuasion-dependent process of legislation is crippled even before it's begun. It would be a good way to honor the victims in Florida, in Texas, in Nevada, in Connecticut, indeed all the way back to Colorado, to commence those hearings perhaps with a joint session of Senate and House select committees and to secure commitments from cable channels to carry them gavel to gavel. And if the hearings occur, Hewitt says, we need one more promise. And this is where it gets tough, I think. For everyone to actually hear all of the viewpoints presented instead of using vitriol, let's stop the outrage and just listen. So I'll toss that out for you this afternoon. You know, I tend to be one of those people that doesn't necessarily favor blue ribbon panels and blue ribbon commissions and all the nonsense the government tends to get into. Now, hearings before Congress is a bit of a different beast. Although most of the time, here's where you'd have to be careful with these. Most of the time, you'd have hearings, and we see them all the time, and I play the audio for them, whether it's on the investigation into the FBI or Benghazi or something else. You have one side, the Republicans, attacking the other side, the Democrats attacking from a different perspective to protect their territory. If, in fact, something along these lines would happen, you'd certainly have the gun rights advocates and the NRA members who would be part of that discussion. You'd also have people who, at least at this point, some of which are being honest about wanting to ban all guns. Because if you play some of these things down, the conclusion logically, in order to ban semi-automatic rifles, why wouldn't you ban? I'm not saying I agree with this, but I think it's common sense to ask the question, why wouldn't you go on and extend that to semi-automatic handguns? Because they kill people too, and in fact, sometimes in greater numbers, like the Virginia Tech shooter. So is this a productive way to go about it? Hugh Hewitt, Chuck Todd, apparently Betsy DeVos, Jeff Sessions. Let's hold hearings, have people testify from all different backgrounds, get the school superintendents, the principals, the NRA, the anti-gun groups, get them up there before committees. Televise it. See if we can find some answers. 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. I don't know if it's a good idea or not. I'm asking you. Jump on in here. Back in a moment. You know, I have television monitors in here in the studio, and they're on the major networks, and Dr. Phil is on one of those networks. I don't even know where, but I keep looking up during this hour, and there's a guy on Dr. Phil that looks like Chris Kerber quite a bit. It's not Chris Kerber. Looks like an angry Chris Kerber. Chris Kerber's not angry. He's a nice guy. This guy's like angry Chris Kerber doppelganger. But don't tune it in. You're going to stay here and listen to KMOX. 436-7900. Look, I don't know if this is a good idea or not. Congressional hearings. I think that eventually, in the end, you could have hearings that would devolve back into the same rhetoric that we're hearing right now from people who don't like guns, who want to take a simple approach, who want to ignore the fact that this is a very complicated issue, and just simply banning something isn't going to do the trick. On the other hand, I think that people on the gun side, or whatever they feel is the gun side and the Second Amendment side, have to be at least willing to listen and offer opinions. And I haven't talked to, I check with my regular gun guys, people who are gun dealers, people who have arsenals of weapons that sometimes I get to borrow and use, and it's fun. And I always ask them these ideas, say, hey, what would you think if they did this? And I've had nobody give me negative feedback on the bump stock ban, which apparently now is going to move forward because the president said that today. So are there other things out there that even hardcore gun guys and gals would think that would be a good direction to head in? I don't know. We'll find out. 436-7900. Al, you're on KMOX.
Hey, buddy. It's Big Al. I got breaking news. That is Chris Kerber. He's trying to get over his frustrations of not winning the cup. So Dr. Phil's talking him through it and giving him bright hopes for the future.
It might actually be him. You might be right about that.
But just want to say I'm a gun owner. And, you know, criminals don't follow the rules. And that's the problem with it. Unless you go scoop up every gun, and that'll never happen. the thing is we have to get better with our registration. We have to get better with keeping an eye. They called the FBI, for God's sake, and they're too busy chasing Trump's dream and trying to get them instead of concentrating on calling Miami field office.
Well, here's a bigger number, though, and I'm sure you heard this, Al, that the cops were called 39 times to his house.
Yes. 39
times.
And you know why? Exactly what was leading into what I was going to say. Until they do something with our laws, and good or bad, you can say what you want. Until they actually do something, you can survey them all you want. But the problem is this, is you when they show up at a school, they know there's no guns, and the first thing they do is get on the phone and call somebody with guns. Think about it, world. I'm sorry we're in this position, but I love everybody. We need to stop this.
Okay, Al, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Gary, you're on KMOX. Hi.
Hello, Mark. I was just thinking, when you're talking about congressional hearings, could be the start of, does the Second Amendment need to be amended, per se? Because, at best, it's an ambiguous statement on a very complicated issue that is, you know, depending on how you read it, which is part of the problem, has already been infringed upon. You know, the right to bear arms without infringement. Well, if we're saying, well, if you're not mentally stable, you shouldn't have a gun. That's an infringement on that right.
Well, look, the court has interpreted, let's take the First Amendment. There are limitations to some of these things, right? You can't, you can't yell fire in a crowded room. So there are reasonable limitations on all of our constitutional rights. We get excuses or complaints all the time about voting and how people on the right are just trying to shut down people on the left from voting, and they're, you know, they have a constitutional right to vote. Well, sure they do, but guess what? We have voter registration. We have laws that guide people through the process. So it's not like every constitutional right is not without interpretation or abridging.
That's true, but I mean, if people are going to read, you know, you got to have guns because it's our right without infringement, well, we've been infringed on it. So,
well, Gary, do you think that, and this is a serious question, do you think that we could ever get to the point in this country where we'd have some sort of agreement or have enough states to vote on another constitutional amendment on guns? Maybe we would, given the outrage.
Probably not, but I would hope that we have enough intelligent people that we could look in politicians and voting.
Oh, no, don't look there. Don't look there. No, good Lord. You had me for a moment, but then you started talking about intelligence with politicians, and that's not going to happen. Thanks for the call. Rex, you're on KMOX. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mark. Hey, I just wanted to say that the NRA, after Sandy Hook, it's like in 2012, proposed funding and developing a program to put armed guards into schools, and they were laughed out of town by the Democrats and Barack Obama. And, you know, nobody knows for sure if that would do any good. It's at least a layer of protection we ought to try before we just say no.
Well, I actually think it should be looked into. The problem is every time I look at the math, you start thinking about armed guards at every school. The numbers add up very quickly. That's why some of these things are going to have to be decided by local school districts. They're going to have to decide. Now, several people, I think, and I've gotten emails. We need to have metal detectors. I'm not saying this is my opinion, but just hear me out. We got to have metal detectors at every school the same way we have metal detectors at Busch Stadium. And I'm going to Scott Trade for the game tonight, taking my little brother from Big Brothers Big Sisters. Cameron and I are going to hang out and see angry Chris Kerber, who's on Dr. Phil right now, and we're going to go through metal detectors. But let me tell you something about those, and you know this already. If somebody wants to show up outside of Scott Trade or outside of a school, or if they want to slip through a back door, if they want to have someone that's working with them, you can't make every school in America set up like Panic Room, that Jodie Foster movie, right? You're going to have other options, and kids are pretty smart. They're going to figure out ways to do these things. So I'm fine with metal detectors. I'm fine with more security. I think these are steps you have to take, but I also think you have to come to a realization that when you have new rules that are in effect, that there are ways to get around those rules. Bob, you're on KMOX.
Oh, hey, Mark. Hey. So, you know, if we were starting a new country and there were no guns, this would be a fairly easy argument, probably, because we'd all say, gosh, these things are at least part of the equation. But we're not. We've got 300+ million guns. We aren't going to get them all confiscated. So we have to face the reality of what that means. And, you know, if you try to get into any Capitol building in this country, you know, we protect our congressmen and our state house folks. Try to get on a plane, we protect our airline passengers. So are kids not good enough to be protected by guns as well? I mean, every place else is protected by armed people that have gone through the appropriate background to be able to be considered, you know, trusted enough to do that. So, you know, I mean, the argument that we're going to just outlaw these things is just crazy, because we're not, number one, we're not going to prevent everything. There's evil in the world. And number two, there's too many guns to confiscate.
All right, so what would you, just to be clear on the reality, so what would you do? What do you think the best course of action would be?
I think at local levels, if people want to place guns in schools and not put it on the one security guard who becomes the target when you walk in the school and the first guy you shoot is the guy that's the only guy with a gun, you have concealed weapons by various people in schools of various sizes, and at least you've got somebody there that if a bad guy walks in, you've got somebody to counteract him and limit the damage. But you're never going to limit some of this, because we're a free country with 330 million people, and there's crazy people, and that's what we got to face.
I think you're right about that. The other thing, and we're talking about guns, and Hugh Hewitt's writing a column that says we got to focus on guns and have hearings. But I think there is an important component of this story. This one in particular, since so many red flags were thrown up, postings on videos, people who turned him in, people who said, look, this guy is a loose cannon waiting to explode. People who called the FBI tip line said, this guy's going to shoot up a school. And it doesn't get followed up on. So is it the gun laws? Is it the access to the guns? Is it that? Is it a combination of things? Probably. Steve, you're on KMOX.
Hi, Mark. A couple things. First of all, NRA has had the Eagle program for many years, available to schools and public service organizations for a long time. Schools in general try to keep it out. They'd rather not discuss gun safety. Now, they're very interested in discussing specifics about sex education. And I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing. I'm really saying if you want people to be safe with firearms, start with safety training. I taught school for 30 years, by the way, and during that time, we had kids with guns in their locker because they're going to the duck blind after school, or they were shooting the school trap program. We never had a problem of any kind. What we did have during those days was kids, particularly little boys, receiving Ritalin. And the nurse was constantly circling through the school with a tray of psychoactive drugs to make sure the little boys were mood altered so they behave well. Now, I taught with a guy with a tunnel rat in Vietnam, and he was very well qualified with firearms. We had a number of people who were. All we would have done was have had people who were not known to the public who were carrying, who could have reacted throughout the complex in case of an incident. In most of these cases, when the shooter is fired upon, they kill themselves or they run and hide. And unfortunately, we're not doing that. I know that it tweaks some nerves of people to talk about that, but it's a very practical solution as long as you have qualified carriers.
I think you lost me on the last part of the solution, which would be what? And by the way, I think that the issue with Ritalin and some of the other drugs may be legitimate. And you'd have to throw the antidepressants in there, probably even more so. But I'm not sure how you tackle that. That would be another topic for congressional hearings, I suppose, if you have those.
I think so. And I've taught kids, you know, the goal was to make little boys behave very calmly like well-behaved little girls. And I'm afraid, I don't know that it's a good thing to take a child who's in the process of developing and alter their brains with chemicals. What I was saying is a lot of the people I dealt with when I was teaching in the school system were qualified in many ways to handle firearms, and with some additional training could have made good, surreptitious, unnoticeable security people. They could have been assaulted throughout the entire building because of who they were and where they were teaching. Custodians, teachers, other people. And the history of these shootings is invariably that if the shooter is resisted in some effective way.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Free zone,
yeah, I got you.
They kill themselves or they flee.
No, I got it. I think I understand. Thanks for the call. Let me take one more here. George, you're on KMOX. You get the final word on this.
No, I'll make
it quick.
So
it better be damn good.
No, fair enough. I think you need to reboot it all. Look at Australia, what they did. It obviously worked. They aren't having the situation we are. And I don't expect our society to be able to do that and turn the guns all in at once. It's not going to happen. But if you put in, you supplement at the schools, perhaps. I'm not a big fan of having trained people with guns, but I'm absolutely not a fan of having kids be killed at school. So if you do that for 5-10 years while this is implemented, you put other stronger laws in place.
But wait, until what is implemented? Now, what they did in Australia is they basically did a gun buyback program. They have nowhere near the amount of guns in that country that we did. They don't have the same cultural breakdown that we did. I'm very uncomfortable with comparing European countries or Australia or anything else when it comes to the violence issue in this country, because I think it runs a lot deeper than just having a gun buyback or a confiscation program. There's no way you'll ever confiscate enough guns in this country to make a difference. And by the way, you start something like that, then you're really going to have people push back.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I understand that there's got to be a starting point to get some of these guns off the street.
Well, we're going to work on that, hopefully, and have conversations. But thanks for the call. I got to run. Here's what's on tap this afternoon, sponsored by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Captain Roger Brand back after a day off. He's got traffic. We have an audio cut of the day right into Total Information PM coming up next.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
And it's sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Good Feet Arch Supports immediately available, coming for your free test walk today. We'll use this, even though this is kind of dull, boring, Donald Trump. It's an important issue and a signal from the administration that they're going to look at making some changes here when it comes to gun regulations. This one on bump stocks.
After the deadly shooting in Las Vegas, I directed Attorney General to clarify whether certain bump stock devices, like the one used in Las Vegas, are illegal under current law. That process began in December, and just a few moments ago, I signed a memorandum directing the Attorney General to propose regulations to ban all devices that turn legal weapons into machine guns. I expect that these critical regulations will be finalized, Jeff, very soon.
All right, so there you go. The movement on bump stocks, a lot of people wondering where that had been since the Vegas massacre, and we move onward with more suggestions, I'm sure, that will come up from this administration and from Congress. We'll see if the congressional hearings like Hugh Hewitt is discussing ever actually manifest into anything. Total Information PM coming up next. Chris Raby from Jupiter, Florida. We have Blues hockey tonight on KMOX.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.